My name's Roland Dye. I suppose I've been involved in the peace movement on and off since the 80s. Bruce Kent was always one of those sort of main, characters involved in the peace movement and CND over all those years, well, for like, as long as I can remember, really. And I do remember perhaps it was his last visit to Bristol. That's a few years ago now. He came to speak at Hamilton House.
Roughly 2015.
Yes, at a guess. Yeah. He was doing a speaking tour. I realized what a lovely man he was, how sincere, and that this is a subject that's been, uppermost close to his heart all his life, or all his active life, or as long as I can remember, which must be a few decades now. I mean, I joined the peace movement back in the 80s, like a lot of us did when those mass demon oh, Greenham Common and Molesworth. All those mass demonstrations in London, which we thought somehow were going to stop all the nasty stuff, and they never did.
Well, maybe they helped to get some of these treaties signed by Thatcher and Reagan, Roland.
There was public pressure, and the women at Greenham, what an absolute milestone or epoch that was in campaigning history. Interestingly, last August, the 40-year anniversary reconstruction of the original march from South Wales to Greenham came through Bristol. So I think it was a 4-day walk, substantial distances, and that's what the women from South Wales did in the first place. There was never a plan to set up a camp. They were just walking from South Wales, linking up with people along the way, the star marches as they were called, going to Greenham Common to hand in a letter saying that they, as representatives of the women of South Wales, really didn't want cruise missiles being stationed in Greenham Common, which is near Newbury.
Okay,
And the story goes.
can you just take us through some of these specific places? You've mentioned Molesworth, Greenham Common. Why those, bases were specifically targeted?
Certainly. So under Thatcher and Reagan, America was expanding its nuclear arsenal, and it wanted to place more nuclear weapons here in Europe, and cruise missiles were the early version of drones. So they were pilotless aeroplanes, basically, which could fly automatically, mapping the terrain, finding their way through the terrain as they flew, low enough to be under the radar. So hence they were a dangerous escalation in the uncertainty of what could trigger a nuclear war, and they could deliver either a conventional or a nuclear warhead onto a target. And that meant the enemy on the other side really didn't know what was coming. So there were in all ways a very dangerous and reckless escalation. So there's going to be a fleet of these stationed at Greenham Common, and the idea was these were mobile. They were mounted on trucks. They could be fired from trucks, and those trucks would. And I remember the phrase now; it's still etched onto my memory. Melt away into the countryside. And what the peace campaigners did were to track these mobile launch vehicles and expose where they were, and hence prevent them being rendered invisible.
Well, so
One of them famously crashed.
what was the military's attitude, Roland, when people started actually driving their cars around and following these mobile cruise launchers?
I wasn't directly involved myself, but I've spoken to people who were. It was a game of cat and mouse. The soldiers didn't really know what they were doing. They didn't know what they were supposed to do when peace campaigners popped their heads up around the hedge and shone torches on them and said, "Oh, look, it's here. It's not invisible after all." And there was a famous case where one of the vehicles, launch vehicles, actually slid off a road in the middle of winter on an icy road and ended up on its side in the ditch. Big embarrassment all round, and had to be hauled back onto the road. It only had a nuclear warhead on it, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, so at least that Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, which was these, I mean, we still obviously we had these giant ballistic missiles in their silos, but these were maybe 2,000 mile range weapons that were mobile, and that meant that, for example, they could, be sitting there in a housing estate, and that housing estate could then become a target for the enemy's nuclear ballistic missiles or anything really. I mean, that
Absolutely.
was why I think people. people got so aerated. But I mean, there was these treaties signed by Thatcher and Reagan after the early 80s and all the excitement about political action actually against the military about citing these things. But we're now in the situation where 2 years ago the US actually renounced this treaty, and the Russians obviously followed suit. Because they don't believe that the other side was playing ball. So we could be back where we were before the 1980s now, Roland.
Yes, it's truly shocking. Yeah, and that's what upsets me, because all my life I've seen how the West has tended to be the one that broke the treaties, upped the game, developed new technology, threatened the rest of the world, not just Russia, but the rest of the world, with our military superiority. American military spending alone is equal to the entire rest of the world, all put together. So that includes Russia, China, and all the other big nations as well. That has to be remembered. So talking to somebody here in Scotland, where I am at the moment, they say, well, why aren't you protesting in China? Because at the moment, they are not the aggressor. Their military spending is vastly less than Russia, than America. America's got nearly 1,000 bases all around the planet. It's absurd.
Well, I mean, also, I don't think you can protest in China, can you?
Well, that's another story, isn't it? And obviously, that's wrong. And everybody should enjoy the same rights anywhere on the planet.
Well, I certainly agree with you there. Anyway, so you mentioned you're up in Scotland. What's going on up there?
We did a photo opportunity in Bristol on Monday the 6th in the morning, displaying our giant peace logo, which is mounted on the trailer. So it's many people would refer to it as the CND logo. It's painted interesting colours. It's parked next to me at the moment. So we left Bristol on Monday the 6th in the evening and basically did a sort of 3-day journey up to Scotland, stopping and visiting peace groups along the way, running public meetings and having photo opportunities in local towns. It was an amazing trip. We met so many remarkable peace campaigners here, there and everywhere, and they made us so welcome. It was really touching. And finally arrived in Glasgow midday on Thursday in time for a photo opportunity, and we had the head of Scottish CND there to make a speech and other wonderful people.
Okay, but you're now actually where the nuclear subs are, aren't you, at Coalport? Can you just give us an idea of what this infrastructure is still, these Trident submarines that are Britain's nuclear deterrent?
Well, certainly, because what upsets me and why I've come over to this side is I was trained as a nuclear scientist, did physics at university, and then went on to do a PhD. They teach you all this stuff, but in such a neutral, bland way, you never really switch your brain on and start thinking about it. It all starts with Aldermaston, which is down in the Newbury area. That's a vast factory that makes all the parts for nuclear warheads. They are then transported to Burfield, which you can see from the M4 as you drive past Reading Services. Yes, 1 mile south of the M4 near Reading. That assembles the nuclear warheads. Then they are put onto armed convoys and moved on public roads up the M1 or the M6, all the way up here to Scotland. And they arrive at a military base, which is a few hundred yards from where we're camped at the moment, called Coalport. And they will be stockpiling about 200 warheads in this facility here up on the top of a hill. And I'll stress that each of those warheads is about 8 times the destructive power of the ones that were used on Hiroshima or Nagasaki. That's a colossal explosive power here, 40 miles from the centre of Glasgow and as the wind blows. So it's not very popular in Scotland. The submarines will come in and out of Coalport to be loaded or unloaded. Then they go around into the next lock and they go into a harbour which is called Fast Lane, which is a place that perhaps a few people have heard of. Both these sites are deeply unpopular here in Scotland. It's all part of the independence movement. They're seen as English nuclear weapons. They're foisted on the Scots because they could be dangerous, couldn't they? They could be nasty. Something terrible could go wrong. And it, you know, why aren't they in England?
Well, of course, the other thing is anywhere these weapons are becomes a target for foreign nuclear attack. And so it's almost as if
Absolutely.
you've got a little beacon on top of your town saying, please nuke us, because we've got loads of nukes here. But I mean,
Very
what
well
would you
put.
say, though, to, I mean, there are, quite a lot of people out there, Roland, who would say, well, actually, because of this whole idea of mutually assured destruction, in a weird way, nuclear weapons have actually kept the peace since the end of the Second World War.
Yeah, I got very stuck on the word defence. You know, it's called the Ministry of Defence. The word defence is the most powerful weapon in the propaganda armory that the government used against us, because a surveys have been done where they classify military spending into different groups. It could be defence, it could be general purpose, or offence. Three quarters of British military spending is offence. Take it from me, we don't need an giant aircraft carrier which can power its way halfway around the planet to patrol the China Seas to defend the Dover Straits. That is not defence, that is offence. And British military power projection on a global stage, you can read the sort of propaganda on the various military websites. That's what they're doing. They're reaching out and basically controlling and threatening the rest of the planet. And that's wrong. I believe in defence. My old mother actually volunteered for the army in 1939. She worked a switchboard in the British Army. She did her bit to defend this country when it did seem to be under a threat of imminent invasion. But that's not what we're facing now. We're not under threat of invasion from China or North Korea or from ISIS or whatever. It's completely the other way around. And if you look at British colonial history, it's absolutely brutal. In fact, most of the countries of the world, Britain has had been a go at one point in its history. So I'm afraid that Britain is the bully on the global stage.
Well,
Yes,
we're not
let's
really
have rational
anymore,
defense,
Roland.
but let's not have offense.
I mean, the empire's gone really since the Second World War. So I don't think you can say that we are now still the bullies on the global stage, although, the nuclear web. But anyway, I want to ask you, because there's been a whole tradition of really eminent and outspoken peace campaigners in Britain. E.P. Thompson, Bruce Kent is, so sad to see his passing because he was very outspoken too. I wonder, do you think there are any of these people who are like that left? Because it does seem as if the whole era of the peace movement is being kind of shut out of the mass media, and these big demonstrations in the 1980s, 100,000 people gathering in Hyde Park, have gone for good.
Well, you're absolutely right. There is a clampdown on information. I mean, you talk to journalists about denotices and they scoff at you, they laugh. And yet it's there, I can't remember the name of it, there is this advisory committee on what they should and shouldn't publish. Look, a little group of people, and I was involved, closed down Britain's nuclear bomb factory for a day by blockading the roads around it. Not once, but twice. That never made national news. It didn't get further than the Reading Gazette. So there is a clampdown because going back a long time, remember Protect and Survive, the civil defence advice that the government was giving out, the famous little booklet about how you took the doors off their hinges and leaned them against the wall and piled bags of soil up on those doors to produce a bomb shelter. And of course, people with any common sense went, hang on, that's not going to protect us against a nuclear bomb falling on our city. That's absolutely so. People began to get very concerned and agitated, and that's really what spurred on the peace movement, to the height that it reached. And the government realized that was a terrible mistake, so they decided to turn off all the information, and people have genuinely forgotten about nuclear weapons. Talk to people in the street, an awful lot of them won't know what a nuclear weapon is, let alone knowing the sort of details that we're discussing here, or that Britain has even got any. Clever trick, really. It's a form of
Well,
propaganda. Just don't mention it.
it is, isn't it? Also, after the early 1980s, with the successes with the big demonstrations against Cruise, the campaign for nuclear disarmament was thoroughly infiltrated by MI5. I can remember Hugo Young interviewing Kathy Massetta famously on Channel 4 for an hour as she explained the various agents that MI5 put in to, first of all, give them information and infiltrate CND, and then actually to begin to steer the policy of it. Now, what about these dirty tricks? Have you
Agree.
experienced any of this, Roland, doing your peace campaign work?
Well, when I've been at gatherings or festivals or whatever, and someone's giving a talk about spy cops, I recommend that to everybody. Get along and be shocked that undercover agents were encouraged as part of their job. These are undercover police, to develop relationships with mostly female campaigners. And as a result of that, sometimes babies, underline the word plural, babies were produced as a result of those unions. And this is just so deeply shocking. And it's good that Helen Steele has just published a book on this. And there's been, you know, a degree of publicity about the whole spy cop scandal. But they were being directed by their commanding officers to form these relationships, to infiltrate groups, and actually to have babies. I mean, it's off the scale of unbelievable, and it's shocking. And I hope justice finally comes out from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay, so and if people want to follow the modern peace movement, Roland, what's the best way to do that?
Well, it still exists. It's still there. Some of the people are getting older. And a branch that I'm involved in, which is XR Peace, so it's a sort of fusion of existing direct action groups working alongside or as part of the movement of movements in Extinction Rebellion. So you can certainly find the stuff that I publish on XR Peace Bristol on Facebook. And, you know, I'm up here with people in Scotland. I'm looking out my vehicle window now. They're all sat around the campfire to keep the midges away. There's been vigils and protests outside the gates of Fastlane.
What about Peace News? Does that still exist?
Yes, going strong. Yeah, I recommend that to people as well. Thanks for prompting me on that. So the brave people this morning pulled an action, well, two actions really. Some brave women in white border suits lay down on the ground outside the gates and poured fake blood over themselves. And that was a decoy action for another group of people then to use lock-on tubes, join their arms together to block the entrance to Coalport. We're expecting the three people who were arrested to be released from custody and come back to the camp here shortly this evening. So there are still people who really realise the shocking reality of all this and doing what they can. Oh, the lady we've been getting the water from our camp, who lives a few hundred yards up the road here, she goes and lies down outside the gate every Wednesday afternoon. I mean, they're very committed individuals, and then there are these movements that still exist, and if your listeners are interested, please get involved. Check out with me via Facebook for what's going on here in Bristol. And we do these trips to these sort of events, and they are amazing. I mean, the commitment of people, the genuine good-heartedness, and belief that we are right and all of that evil, destructive, money-wasting power is wrong will transform your life.
Yeah, as might a subscription to Peace News. Very good way to keep in touch. Anyway, look, Roland, Di, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much. Nice to talk to you all.